Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus came to cast fire on the earth. And what is our response to that? Feel the burn? Is it a political statement? Jesus is going to change things up, change the political landscape, start a revolution. Or, Jesus came to cast fire on the earth. Maybe our response is, Sodom and Gomorrah, get ready to burn, sinners. Jesus is on the side of the Westboro Baptist Church. Or as the early American pastor John Edwards would have said, sinners in the hands of an angry God. Or, Jesus came to cast fire on the earth. Therefore, stay away from Jesus. Only you can prevent forest fires. Only you can prevent the fires of Judgment Day. Actually, none of these are true. Jesus did not come to start a revolution or to protest at funerals with loud declarations of God's judgment without cross and mercy, or to declare that only you have the deciding choice between the shamim of heaven, the waters of heaven, or the poor of Gehenna, the fire of hell. He talked about those things, but he does not say it's up to you. These are not right representations of our God, our judge, or Jesus, our Savior. For none of these distinguish God's law and his wrath from his heart of hearts, his grace and mercy. For Jesus did come to cast fire on earth, and oh, would that it were already kindled, he said. Immediately following that, he said, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. The key to understanding these verses today is the cross and Jesus' distress, not ours. The cross is the ultimate display of God's fiery judgment on earth for sin, yours and mine. Naturally, Jesus wanted it done and over with, just as we'd want it done and over with. The cross is the baptism by fire by which God cleanses the universe of sin, redeeming it, buying it back for his own possession. The cross is law, the revealing of God's wrath, yes, his mishpat, judgment day, for every sin and disobedience of mankind from Adam up until now. The cross, however, is also gospel, the revealing of God's merciful love, his hesed, his steadfast love for every sinner, because Jesus Christ already accomplished it for you. For only on the cross do we see and find Jesus' life laid down, the innocent one, for the guilty. When Jesus said these things, however, he was still waiting for the cross to come. It was still truly distressing, somewhat like anticipating surgery. It's going to hurt because it's real. It's visceral. It's painful. It's distressing. But he did not turn away from it, and thank God he didn't. He anticipated it as any human being would, but he still traveled to it as only God can, with the God-given confidence of what it accomplishes, which is our salvation, our inclusion in heaven, a loving, restored relationship with God our Father, with sinners who now praise God in the heavenly places. From every sin and death, we praise him forever. But, it also means divisions here on earth. Jesus explained that in our gospel today, didn't he? Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? If you listen to our Christmas hymns, you'd think, yes, right? Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. But here Jesus answers his own question and says, no. From now on, in one house there will be five divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother. These are the affinial relationships, family relationships by flesh and blood. Not to mention, Jesus answered, the bloodless kind, mother-in-law versus daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law versus mother-in-law, which proves once again how insightful Jesus was. Jesus proclaims the division because he knows the hearts of humankind. In one respect, his coming to earth only exacerbates the problem. For when one son discovers Jesus and begins to follow him, a father often sees this as a distraction from following him and his ways and the choices in life that he made, and maybe even a judgment on his own moral failures. What, you got to follow Jesus and no longer my ways? Likewise, when a daughter in a Muslim country, for example, converts to Christianity, families have been torn apart because mother and father interpret this as an act of hostility and disobedience to the family and the family's God. Likewise, the shame that would be brought upon a Hindu family or a Buddhist family in Eastern religions when a son or a daughter converts from Buddhism and Hinduism to following Jesus. Jesus knew ahead of time that he would bring division on earth. He would be a dividing force. But in truth, the truth divides. Cancer and non-cancerous cells cannot live in peace and unity. The cancer must be defeated, or the body divides uncontrollably until death. So also, the only solution is not to remove the truth of Jesus from the equation, just let things be, but allow Jesus, by word and sacrament, to do his work until all is accomplished. God's future for us is a more glorious unity, where sin and rejection of the true God is gone. As it says in the Bible, for every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. But the good news today, because we live in a world that is so divided, as you know, churches from churches, communities from communities, Republicans from Democrats, and liberals and everything else, and libertarians, that you can have true unity and true peace now because what Jesus did and said from the cross, it is finished. It is accomplished. Jesus accomplished our salvation already. And now we run the race to heaven with endurance, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy was set before us, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the glory of God. Outwardly, there is no peace and unity on earth, even with Jesus present. But inwardly, as it said in the epistle, by faith, over and over and over again, there is peace and unity. One holy Christian church throughout all the world. One baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and in all and through all. One. Unified. A peaceful river of delight that erupts with joy. There is peace from his cross and from his resurrection. And you recall what he said when he rose from the dead. Peace be with you. Three times. The very peace that he declared is the visible ones with his wounds on Easter Sunday. The very peace that St. Paul calls the peace that surpasses all human understanding, which will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So yes, indeed, Jesus came to cast fire on earth. He preached law and God's wrath upon sin. And yes, Jesus came to divide 3 against 2, 2 against 3. And yes, outwardly there will be no peace until all is accomplished, or until it is said in the church, until the consummation of all things. But by faith in his cross now, and by faith in his resurrection now, you have the peace that the world cannot give. And the world can have it too. That is, by faith in the gospel and the good news of Jesus and what he accomplished, sinners have found a gracious God and a uniting family that welcomes them into God's house to receive this mercy again and again, this unity as we do at his table. He unites us into one communion by baptism. He unites us into one communion by communion. And what a communion's joy it is to praise and to bring the good news of the true peace and true unity to all the world. Go in peace. Grow in peace. In Jesus' dividing and uniting truth. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.